I'm Marco Werman, and it's The World. Last month, Nigerians did something rare, considering its history. They voted out their sitting president, Goodluck Jonathan, and then he stepped down. Jonathan had presided over what many call one of the most corrupt administrations in Nigerian history, and that is a pretty high bar. A lot of the corruption in Nigeria centers around who controls the profits from the nation's oil reserves. Julia Simon tells us about one woman who got a piece of those oil profits and is now one of the richest women in Africa.
This is the story of Folorunsho Alakija. She started out in the 70s as a secretary in Nigeria's capital, Lagos, but she really wanted to get into fashion. So she went to London for design school, came back to Nigeria, and started her own label called Supreme Stitches. Alakija made gowns with black chiffon and gold trim, another with sleeves that were layers of red, white, and black fabric petals. Her clothes were a hit, and soon she was designing for Nigeria's elite. But she didn't stop there. This was the early 90s, and Nigeria's oil industry was booming. The government had mapped out all its swamps and seas all into a grid of rectangular-shaped blocks. And Nigerians could apply for the license to a block to look for oil. Alakija decided she wanted in. She met with the oil minister, and eventually he gave her a block. Here she is in a 2012 interview with CNN's African Voices.
We weren't sure what was there. We were novices in the industry, of course.
It turned out the block was a gusher.
To the glory of God, we actually struck oil in commercial quantity. And we were told that that oil had been collecting in there for 17 million years.
Alakija had basically won the oil lottery. Her block can produce up to 250,000 barrels of oil a day. She's now one of the richest black women in the world.
Hard work. I'm trying to tell you how I got to where I am, if you want those billions.
This is the sound of Alakija talking about herself at a speech at Lagos University. These days, she gives a lot of speeches. She has a charity for widows and orphans, and she owns a private jet, a lot of real estate, including a really nice apartment on Hyde Park in London. But calling this empire self-made, well, there's more to the story.
Number five. What's it called? Tony Anigbode. Okay, let's just park. Just right over there.
I wanted to try to meet Alakija, so I went to the Lagos office listed on her oil company website. It wasn't what I expected the office of a billionaire to look like. It's really a building that's kind of falling apart. The plaster's falling off the wall, and there's exposed wires. Outside, there were piles of red dirt. The trash was overflowing from a bin. There was a guy playing music from his trunk as he fixed his car. There was wildlife. Oh, there's the chicken coming close to me now. There was no sign for the oil company, so I pressed the buzzer.
Julia, what?
Simon.
Simon.
Yeah.
Simon.
S-I-M-O-N. Yeah, Simon.
S-I-M-O-N.
I submitted a letter for Mrs. Alakija. Okay. The guard eventually came back and said someone gave my letter to Alakija's secretary, but I never heard back from her. I've tried many times over the last few months to reach her or her people for an interview, but with no response. So that was disappointing. For some context, I went to Olosholo Bello, energy editor for a newspaper here called Business Day. And he told me an important part of Alakija's story. Remember how I said she was a fashion designer for Nigeria's elite? Bello says one of her clients was a pretty big deal.
Miriam Babangida, the then wife of Nigerian military president, Ibrahim Babangida.
Yeah. Alakija was making dresses and gowns for the wife of the military dictator at the time. According to Bello, the fact that Alakija was so close to his family and the fact that she got an oil block, not a coincidence.
It is by connection. It is not by bidding. A lot of people were given concessionary blocks, oil blocks, depending on how close you are to the president.
For many Nigerians, Alakija represents the cronyism that defines Nigeria's oil sector. In most countries, when you want an oil block, it's competitive. The person with the best business plan and the most experience, that person wins the block. But Musiklu Mojeed of the newspaper Premium Times says it probably didn't work that way for Alakija.
It's very simple that she knew people and then she got awarded an oil block. That has no much hard work there.
Last month, the Nigerian people said enough is enough to this type of system. They voted President Jonathan out of office. For many voters, the corruption in the oil sector was a big reason why. Mojeed says with the incoming president, Muhammadu Buhari, there's a new sheriff in town and a lot of policies might be reviewed. So what does that mean for Folorunsha Alakija? Well, she'll probably still get to keep her oil block. But Mojeed hopes that Nigerians will start thinking differently about her story. He understands why some consider her a hero for making the right connections. But that's not the Nigeria he wants.
My own dream for my country is a country where there's a level playing ground for everyone to succeed, where there's competition for jobs, for businesses, for herb blocks, for gas blocks, for whatever. That's my own dream for my country.
He hopes that someday Nigerians can build business empires like Alakija's without having to know a minister or the president. For The World, I'm Julia Simon, Lagos.
Julia's reporting from Nigeria was supported by the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting.